Beginning in verse number 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and colt, put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, strawed them in the way. The multitudes that went before, that followed, cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus." Boy, that's good, isn't it? This is Jesus.
Man.
Have we lost our appreciation for Jesus? Have we lost our wonder for Jesus? I hope not. I hope you haven't. I hope that you love Jesus. I hope that you talk to Him every day, every waking moment that pops in your mind. I pray you have a close communion with Him. I pray, it's my desire that you love this love letter that He's written to you. You know, you see sometimes pictures of people who got love letters from overseas when their loved ones were fighting the wars and based over there, and they have these love letters and they're all wrapped up, and you see pictures of that and movies of that kind of stuff. But I want you to know that this love letter was written for you.
Yeah.
It was written from God. It was written for us so that we could read it. I imagine in those love letters that some got from overseas, they'd read those and they'd read them again and they'd read them again and they'd read them again. And maybe every once in a while still pull them out and look at them and just say, "Oh, wasn't he so sweet back then?" But understand something. This book right here will never be exhausted. You'll never get the fullness of it. And I imagine every time you read those letters, you fall in love all over again. And it should be the same way with the Word of God.
Yes.
We read God's Word, we ought to fall in love all over again.
Amen.
Because He loves us. And we ought to wonder and we ought to worship. And my question this morning is, do you love Him?
Mm.
Here He was coming to Jerusalem, and they took their coats off and they laid them in the way so that there would be, it was just about honor, it was just about glory. It wasn't to keep the animals' feet dry. It wasn't to keep the dust from getting on the animals' feet. It was just about hooves. Okay, I know they don't have feet. It was just to honor Jesus. It was just to worship Jesus. It was just to glorify Him. That's all it was about. It was only done. It wasn't necessary. It was only to worship Him. Let me ask you something this morning. What have you done only to worship Him? Are there some things that you do, not because they're necessary, but you just want to show your spouse, you just do it to show love.
Amen.
And that's the only reason. There's no other reason to do it. Just to show you love her. Just to show you love Him. Are there some things we do for Jesus just to show that we love Him? Just because we love Him. Just to worship Him and to give glory. The multitudes, the Bible says, worshipped Him in verse number 8. The multitudes worshipped Him in verse number 9. Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Just praising, just worshiping, just singing and just loving. It came from their heart.
Amen.
Celebrating Jesus. Here it is, Palm Sunday, coming up on Easter. And this week, some refer to it as a holy week, and it's the week that led to Jesus' crucifixion. He died on that cross for our sins, to wash our sins away, so you can go to heaven. How many of you want to go to heaven? How many of you want to go right now if we're taking a bus? It all changes, doesn't it? We got stuff to do. We don't want to go right now. But we want to go to heaven. I want to be in heaven. I love heaven. I want to get there. I'm excited about going. My family is all going, so I want them all to go. I mean, again, we're not in a hurry, but we want to go.
Yeah.
Jesus is the reason you can go to heaven.
Amen.
Not the church. Hey, I love Capitol Heights Baptist Church. It's a wonderful church. I love y'all. I'm glad we're all here together. But I'm going to tell you something. Baptism won't get you to heaven.
Yeah.
Going to church won't get you to heaven.
Amen.
Now, going to church might be the place where you're introduced to Jesus when you get saved, and that's wonderful because that's why we're here. Yeah. But only when you accept Jesus as your Savior will you get your name written in the book of life so you can go to heaven.
Amen.
Everybody in this room is a sinner. And Jesus died for everybody in this room. And if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have your sins washed away, then from your heart to God's heart, cry out and say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for me. And God, I need your forgiveness, and I ask you to wash my sins away. And God, I give my life to you. Will you do that? Have you done that? Have you given your life to Jesus? Because if you have, you're born again. If you have, you're going to heaven. And if you haven't, then you're bound for hell. And that's not good.
Yeah.
You know, you say, well, I'm not going to worry about that until it's time. How do you know when it's going to be time?
Yeah.
Does y'all have a schedule? You got a calendar somewhere that you've got an appointment to die? Because I can tell you something. There are plenty of people that didn't plan to die yesterday that died. And so you need to settle that right now, from your heart to God's heart. I love what it says here, and when I read this, I just got all caught up in it. As I could watch Jesus as he's coming over that hill, he's riding on the back of that colt, and he's coming down there, and they're laying that stuff. They're laying the palms, they're laying their coats, and he's just riding in there, and they're worshiping, and they're celebrating, and it's just in awe, and the noise that they're making, the joy that people can hear from them, and it carries down and all the way into the city, and the city's full because they're all prepared for Passover, and so they're worshiping and they're celebrating in the old way. And here comes this one person. Everybody's got their attention, their focus on this one person that's riding in the town, and they're worshiping him. And there are people begin to ask, "Who is this? Who's that?" Have you ever seen somebody that was just surrounded with attention? You ever met somebody like that? And you said, "Boy, he must be somebody important." I've been in places when the president or the vice president would come to town, and all of a sudden you start seeing all those motorcycles, you know, all the motorcycle cops are coming. Then you see the other police cars, and then you see the ambulance, and then you see the black trucks, you know, the black SUVs driving. And you say, "Who is it? Who's in town?" You don't know who it is necessarily, but you know it must be somebody important. And they come zipping through town, and you want to know who it is. And I've got friends, of course, down in Palm Beach. Now they get out there and watch every time the president comes back to Mar-a-Lago for the weekend and such, and they take pictures and they get all excited about it. You say, "I don't know who he is, but it must be somebody important." Here comes Jesus on that animal coming over the hill, coming to the city. And the city's all astir. Everything's going on. It's a big party. It's a big celebration. And now all the attention is focused on this one man. And there are some people who haven't heard. And they said, "Who is that?" They've never met him. They didn't have Facebook and cable and all that. They didn't have all that back then. And so they had no idea who he was. But they knew it was somebody. They knew there was something special about him. How did they know? Because of the actions of those who worshipped him. I wonder when somebody comes in here and they look at us and they say, "Well, these people are Jesus people." Isn't that what you would assume if you came in here? These are Jesus people because they go to church. That's what Jesus people do, isn't it? They go to church. And these are Jesus people. And then we begin to sing hallelujah and praise ye the Lord. And songs like that. He is risen and hallelujah and resurrection. And they look at us and they say, "Well, I wonder if these people are really impressed by Jesus." I wonder when we sing Amazing Grace, can they see on us, "Boy, he must be somebody." They say, "I don't know who he is, but he must be somebody because look at how his people react. Look at how his people sing. Look at how his people worship. Look at how his people love him." That's what they were doing, taking their clothes and laying them down, cutting the palms and laying them down. They were worshiping.
Man.
I wonder what they would think of... I wonder if they'd even ask who it is. If they saw our reactions. If they saw how little we're impressed by Jesus. How little we care. And you say, "Well, Pastor, we care a whole bunch." I wonder how we react when Coach Bowden walks into the room compared to when Jesus is in the room. Now, we love Coach Bowden, don't we? There was some time where we didn't like him too much, but we like him now. I mean, nobody's a winner when you're on a losing streak. And we look at people like that and we say, well, he's famous, he's a star. And so you'll come to church if Coach Bowden's going to be here, but Jesus is here every Sunday and you don't. That doesn't impress you. You'll come for a special speaker. What if we got the most favorite speaker? What if Fan was preaching today? You'd all show up. What if we got somebody to preach? He's going to be preaching today, so we need to go. But Jesus is here. This is His church. This is His Word. This is His time. Are we impressed by Jesus?
Amen.
Do we love Jesus? Do we worship Jesus? Is it important to us?
Yeah.
Who is this? And the reaction was this. Very simple. This is Jesus. Time to examine our hearts. I want to take you a couple of pages over to Matthew 23. In verse number 37. I wonder when's the last time we had such a reaction that people wondered, who is this Jesus? And we told them, He's our Savior. He's the one that died for me. He's the Son of God. He's the Creator. He's my King. In Matthew chapter 23, and we're in the same context here, in verse 37, Jesus is looking toward this week. He's looking toward the crucifixion. He's looking forward toward those 3 days when He'd be in the tomb. He's looking toward that time even when He'll be releasing the ministry, turning over the ministry to the pastors, to the apostles, to the Christians. Now it's their responsibility to go forward. So He'd be surrendering, if you will, surrendering the reins physically of the ministry. He's there standing over Jerusalem and He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Jesus on the course for Calvary. Soon, He'll be back in heaven. Soon, that's where He'll be. So, yes, by the Spirit, He said, if I go, I'll send the Holy Spirit. Yes, but you know how it is when you try to manage something from a distance, don't you? Any of y'all ever had to try to manage something from a distance? Like when you were out of town, you left your husband at home, anything like that? Soon, Jesus will be back in heaven. Soon, He'll leave the ministry in the hands of those He has trained. You say, well, I'm worried about the church and the next generation. Then we better be training the next generation.
Amen.
Instead of just worrying about it, we better be training them. Jesus had given them, remember He said, I've got so much to tell you, but there's so much that you need to know that you can't handle yet. Because you just haven't grown that far yet. Mm. He's going to surrender the ministry to them. Soon His opportunity to touch lives will be from a distance in heaven, working through others. He's working through us. Jesus is still in the ministry. Jesus is still in charge. He's the head of the church. But He's doing His work through us.
Amen.
Now let me ask you a question. If you were Jesus, would you feel good about that type of management? Have you ever tried to teach somebody to do something and then taken over after you let them try it? Anybody ever to come on, tell the truth? Forrest, yesterday we were out here trying to fix the eaves where the had a twister come through here and made a mess. I don't even remember what day it was. Was it Monday? I guess it was Monday. And made a mess out here, and the construction crew did some of it, and then we came out yesterday and did a little bit more. But Forrest was up there trying to fix the eaves, and so he and Brother Sonny were working on it. There's Brother Sonny. And they were working on trying to get it fixed, and it wasn't working. And then I came over and I started coaching them how to do it, and that wasn't working. And I said, well, I really don't want to come up on that ladder. It's not that I'm afraid of heights, because I'm not. I just wanted him to do it. I think it's important that young people learn and get their hands on it and do that kind of stuff. And so I stood there and we coached, and Brother Sonny had an idea, and Brother Josh had an idea, and Sister Ann had an idea. We're all throwing these ideas, and Forrest is up there on the ladder just mixed up with all the ideas. But he'd try it, and eventually what happened is I got up there and figured out that all the ideas we were throwing at him were bad ideas. None of them worked. But I figured out the problem. And so I think about Jesus in heaven, and he's saying, Derek, this is what I need you to do. Derek, this is what I need you to do. Just like we were coaching Forrest up on that ladder. And it's not that his ideas are bad. It's just that a lot of time we don't execute them. We don't do what we're told. If you've ever trained a kid, tried to show a kid how to do something, sometimes it's what? It's easier to do it yourself. But Jesus has been training people because there was going to come a time when he couldn't do it himself. Jesus is not going to get in his pulpit and preach today. He's relying on me to do that. He's not going to get in your Sunday school teacher and teach those children. He's relying on you to do that. He's not going to be in your house teaching your family or at your job, reaching your coworkers. He's counting on you.
Amen.
To do that.
Right.
He looks at Jerusalem and he weeps and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered thy children?" Jesus is burdened for the lost. Are you? Do you care if people go to hell? Do you care if souls die without Jesus? Jesus is burdened for the church. Are we? Jesus is burdened for the city. Are we? Jesus wanted to do more. Do we? Jesus just ran out of time for all that he wanted to do. I thought about that as I wrote it. I thought, boy, that really doesn't sound good, does it? God's got a calendar and God's got timing, and it just doesn't sound good to say that Jesus ran out of time. But the truth is, it was never a good time for Jesus to let go. He loved people. He wanted everybody. He wants everybody to go to heaven.
Amen.
He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to have heaven on earth. He wants everybody to have the anointing, to have the presence of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't want anybody to leave this room this morning lost.
Yeah.
But can you imagine if I stayed here and preached until everybody got saved that's in this room? You ever been to church where the preacher tried to hold out till everybody got saved? The 12th verse of "Just As I Am," and there's not a 12th verse, there's only 4 or 5. And they keep rolling, and they keep rolling. Let's sing it again. Let's start over again. And the preacher says, "I know somebody in here needs to get saved." Right? You see, what happened is, Jesus couldn't just keep rolling the invitation over and sing another verse. And sing another verse. He had a schedule to keep. He had to go to Calvary. He looked at Jerusalem and he said, "Oh, I wish I could have reached all of them. I wanted all of them to get saved. I wanted their children to be saved. I wanted them to be safe. I want them all to go to heaven."
Man.
And he says, "How often I would have gathered them in. But you wouldn't." As we're living in times, this is the holy time, the holiday next Sunday. People are open right now to the message, to the story of Jesus. But the main thing is they've got to see our worship. They've got to see our love. They've got to see our interest so that they will say, "Who is this?" And then we can say, "This is Jesus." Would you stand?